Welcome to Federal Insights, connecting U.S. Postal Service and its future needs, sponsored by Sprint. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
Like large corporations, the Postal Service, by law, has a board to govern and oversee its activities. But the Postal Board of Governors, established by the 1970 law that established the Postal Service itself, has a problem. At the moment, it has zero confirmed members. Maybe it's time to revise the USPS governance model altogether. Joining me with more, Charles Crum, Director of Operations Research at the Postal Service Office of Inspector General. Mr. Crum, good to have you on.
Thank you very much to be on, Tom.
So you decided to look at the governance of the Postal Service. What is going on here that there's no one on the board, or only one person on the board as of
you're correct. The last governor leaves on December the 8th, and he is the last one of the nine governors who were contemplated and allowed by law. Now, because this is an unprecedented situation, in some ways we don't know exactly what's going to happen after December the 8th. But what we do know is there are a number of important duties that can't legally be done without the presidentially appointed governors. So, for example, the Postmaster General and the Deputy Postmaster General's compensation would freeze and they could not be removed or replaced. Postal rates and fees and product classifications cannot be changed. New products could not be introduced, and existing products could not be significantly changed. A new inspector general could not be appointed. The Office of Inspector General's semi-annual report to Congress could not be issued, and the Postal Service could not even hire a new public accounting firm to audit its financial statements.
I guess so, people maybe didn't realize how little say over these things the Postmaster General has.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, the way this is set up, the Board of Governors is comprised of the Postmaster General, the Deputy Postmaster General, and the nine presidentially appointed, Senate-confirmed independent governors. But what's interesting here is, and one of the issues that we found as we were researching this, is all executive branch agencies, including the Postal Service, must be led by principal officers who are appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate. This is part of the Appointments Clause of the U.S. Constitution. And currently, the Postmaster General is not appointed by the president. They're hired by the Board of Governors, who are the presidential appointees.
What's the holdup in getting those nominations to the Senate and through the Senate?
Well, to my understanding, there are six outstanding nominations where the president has nominated and submitted six names, but they have not yet been confirmed by the Senate. There were Senate hearings, but the Senate has actually not confirmed any nominees since 2010, and that's why the number of external governors on the board has gone from nine down to one, and then after December the 8th, down to zero. So this would require the Senate to move on this.
Where do they go, the board members? Their terms expired and they left and there was no one there to replace them?
Exactly. They're seven-year terms, and over the course of the last 6 years, as governor's terms ended, they left the board and they've not been replaced with new nominees.
Typically, who are people that go on to the board of postal governors?
Well, that's a very interesting question. There's a very wide range, and we looked at some best practices, and one of the best practices was to have a wide and diverse range of people on the board, but they range from political type people to leaders of corporations to people who are involved in academia and other forms of government. So the Board of Governors has historically been a wide range of people, and the nominees that have been forward also are a wide range.
Now, you listed a long list of activities that cannot happen without the existence and operation of the Board of Governors. Is it simply the issue that these things can't happen, or are there longer-term, more strategic issues that get put on hold also?
Well, that's absolutely the case, too. So, as I said, the Board of Governors includes the Postmaster General and the Deputy Postmaster General, and they're responsible for a wide range of strategic actions, and they're in a little bit of an unclear situation. They're operating under something called the Temporary Emergency Committee. Normally, they would have to have a quorum of six, but it's been decided that with at least one external governor that this committee could continue to operate, but after December the 8th, there will only be the Postmaster General and the Deputy Postmaster General, and they'll be guiding all of the strategies of the Postal Service going forward without any external outside influence or suggestions.
And probably Ms. Brennan would not see fit to give herself a big raise while she's the only emergency committee member.
Well, exactly. That's actually one of the raises. She is the external governors are the only people who can change the compensation of the Postmaster General or Deputy Postmaster General. So that would be not allowed by law, but there's probably a lot of other things where she would like the guidance and direction of an external board members. And I know from what we've seen that that's an important relationship.
Are the board members full-time positions, or this is something people volunteer for in their free time?
No, these are part-time positions. They generally come in 2 days a month. It's very much like a corporate board of directors. One of the interesting things we've noted, though, is that while board of governors for the Postal Service earn $30,000 a year, for doing about the same amount of work, the average compensation of non-executive directors at Fortune 500 companies is $255,000. So the pay gap for a very similar amount of work is quite high.
So if a guy gets an offer from Ford Motor Company or the Postal Service, probably they would mitigate toward the Ford Motor Company.
Unless they have a strong patriotic duty toward the Postal Service, they're very likely to be on other boards than the Postal Service Board of Governors.
But I guess people do routinely serve on multiple boards, since none of them require more than a day or two a month, as you point out.
Absolutely. There's no restriction other than we found in the best practices. It's important that the governors have be able to devote a substantial amount of time and energy, since while it's only 2 days, there is a lot of research and things like that in between meetings, and they need to be able to attend the 2 days of meeting per month to provide their direction to the Postal Service.
Unlike a lot of inspectors general reports, I get the sense this one really is aimed at the Senate and possibly the administration to come to the aid of the Postal Service so it can begin to function properly.
Well, I think the role, and this was a project that our inspector general thought was important because of what was going on December the 8th, but I think the goal of this was really just to describe the situation, probably to the general public or to the Congress, and that's what our job is. We're here to inform stakeholders, including Congress, of what's going on and just letting them know what's going on with the kind of the crisis situation that the Postal Board of Governors is currently in.
We're speaking with Charles Crum, Director of Operations Research at the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General.
Employees, retirees, and contractors for the United States Postal Service. After handling all that mail and heavy parcels, Sprint would like to make one bill a little lighter. The United Freedom Plan from Sprint costs even less because of where you work. Get two lines for $90 per month and up to 10 additional lines for only $25 per line. No more worrying about running out of data or surprise overage charges. Get unlimited data, talk, and text all while on the Sprint network. Restrictions apply. Learn more at a local Sprint store or visit sprint.com/USPS discounts.
We're speaking with Charles Crum, Director of Operations Research at the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General. Aside from the specific functions that we have listed, the Postal Service does have some long-term strategic issues it's got to face. It has these continuing multi-billion-dollar deficits, for example, and increasing competition in delivery from many, many different entrants and the whole emergence of the drone industry. It goes on and on. Is it the finding of your office that these are issues that need to be addressed and also require the cooperation, consent, advice of the Board of Governors?
Well, absolutely. The Postal Service is in a very difficult and complicated time of change, with technological change, with legal changes related to how they're structured and how they price their products. And this is particularly an important time where the Postal Service needs the kind of strategic direction and guidance that a fully staffed and diverse, knowledgeable board could provide. So it is ironic that, yes, this is the time that the Postal Service probably most needs, again, a strong, independent board with diverse knowledge. And they're really down to one person and could shortly be down to zero people.
Let's talk a little bit about the history of all of this. The Postal Service, as we understand it today, came into existence in 1970. And as your report points out, after a postal strike, I wonder how many people remember that.
Yeah, I mean, the story, we could probably write a whole nother paper on the history of how the old post office department transformed into the modern postal service. But the short version is, well, before 1970, the Postmaster General and eight other high-level positions were appointed directly by the president. And the Postmaster General was part of the president's cabinet, was often a close political advisor. The Postal Reorganization Act of 1970, however, created this appointed board of governors as being the linchpin to help guide and direct the Postal Service into becoming a less politicized and more business-like operation. So it was really a fundamental change that took place in 1970.
And there's also a Postal Regulatory Board that works alongside with the Governance Board. What's the status of that right now?
Exactly. So the there are five independent rate commissioners, four of which exist. So the Postal Regulatory Commission is not fully staffed, but close to fully staffed, with four of the five commissioners still in office.
Because recently those commissioners rescinded a 2-cent temporary price increase in first-class mail, which has cost the Postal Service, the executives say, a great deal. And could that be restored in the absence of the Board of Governors?
Well, yeah, our report didn't really delve into that, but that's certainly an issue with the Postal Regulatory Commission. We talk about in the paper that the original conception of the Board of Governors is that they would have full responsibility and authority to run the organization. As the law actually came into place in the Postal Reorganization Act, it shared power with this regulator, then called the Postal Rate Commission, changed to Postal Regulatory Commission in the law of 2006. But it's still the same kind of notion where the Postal Board of Governors' power is balanced by the Postal Regulatory Commission's power.
Now, your report is an almost encyclopedic article-type exposition of what the Board of Governors does and the governance structure of the Postal Service. Is there a movement in Congress or a movement even within the postal community itself that maybe it's time for another revolution in how the Postal Service is governed vis-a-vis the 1970 reorganization?
Well, certainly there have been a lot of thoughts put out there that various bills that have come out or various, you know, things that have come out about how it could be done. There have been thoughts that maybe we should go back to having the Postmaster General presidentially appointed. Maybe the number of governors could go down, say, from 9 to 5. So there's been a lot of different looks at how things could be changed, which would potentially alter the vision of the 1970 Act.
And what about some of those strategic issues facing the Postal Service, that is, new delivery methodologies? I was going to even throw in the thought of driverless vehicles, because that seems to be what some of the other delivery people are looking at. And, of course, that has big labor implications also.
Yeah, well, exactly. Now, for this paper, we didn't look into any of those ideas, but one of the things we did talk about in the corporate governance best practices that we include in the paper, that it's corporate governance best practice, and this definitely would apply to the Postal Service, that a portion of the board should have professional experience related to the company's business. So, for example, with the Postal Service, that might mean having a governor or two with specific knowledge and experience in the logistics and delivery industry. Or relevant directly to your question, the board could have members with specific experience in areas like technology or human resources or even unmanned vehicle technology. All of these things a corporate board might hire if they were in a period of technological change. Let's bring in someone with specific knowledge and experience in this, perhaps even someone from that industry, to help guide and direct our actions in that area.
We're speaking with Charles Crum, Director of Operations Research at the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General.
USPS employees, during this busy holiday season, Sprint has a special offer just because of where you work. Save $5 every month for every line you have on their already amazing Unlimited Freedom plan. Four lines for $35 per month each. For a family of four lines, that's a savings of $20 per month. No more worrying about running out of data or surprise overage charges. Get unlimited data, talk, and text all while on the Sprint network. Restrictions apply. Learn more at a local Sprint store or visit sprint.com/USPS discounts.
We're speaking with Charles Crum, Director of Operations Research at the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General. So if you were to have someone on the board, say from FedEx or UPS or even Amazon, that could, though, present a conflict of interest, couldn't it? Because the Postal Service is a customer of those outfits and vice versa.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure I certainly don't mean to suggest that any individual from those companies, but it is standard practice in the corporate world to include people from the industry. But yeah, the Postal Service, it's very interesting the relationship it has with the other carriers. Again, as you say, the Postal Service, for example, FedEx is a major supplier of the Postal Service, taking care of the vast majority of its air transportation. But in addition, the Postal Service does last mile delivery for a very large portion of the FedEx's small ground delivery volume. And with Amazon, the Postal Service also delivers a very high proportion of their last-mile delivery for those pieces. So there's a very close relationship between all of those companies, which is quite complicated.
That's why you see Postal Service trucks on Sundays nowadays.
Absolutely, delivering Amazon goods.
And again, longer term, what does – I mean, I guess I'm expanding beyond the study here, but as a member of the Inspector General community, you look at everything from rats in a service center to the strategy of the Postal Service. Where do you think this is all heading?
Well, that's a great question. Again, we haven't addressed that in this paper, but again, I think the thing that we think is most important, there are so many complicated and difficult and strategic issues with the Postal Service. You know, we're in such a time of technological change, and the technological change, the Postal Service can either participate in that, but it will certainly be impacted by that. And the best way, we think, for it to respond to this is by having a fully staffed board with people with the right knowledge and experience to help guide and direct it in the modern age.
A lot of your report is devoted to reviewing what happened with the last president's commission on USPS, which was a governance model under the George W. Bush administration. And what has changed since then, do you think, that is most significant?
Well, the Postal Service, you know, following the Postal PAEA, the Postal Accountability Enhancement Act of 2006, shortly following that, they went into kind of a when that law was enacted, the Postal Service was actually at an all-time high in its volume. For most of the categories of mail, it reached its all-time volume high in 2007. After that, the volume has come down, and the Postal Service is really trying to respond to things related to the Great Recession and the technological changes in how people are using mail.
Is the big drop in volume and revenue mostly first-class classic mail?
The biggest change is the decline in first-class mail, yes.
That is people, well, not licking, but peeling stamps and putting them on an envelope and sending it, because bulk mailers use bulk rates.
Right, exactly. The individual stamp mail has become a smaller proportion of what the Postal Service is doing. And again, that getting back to our paper here, because the Postal Service is in a time of change, we really think it's important that, again, you have a fully staffed set of governors to guide and direct the Postal Service.
And have you had any reaction yet to this report?
Well, the Postal Service responded in their management comments, and they thought that we did a good job assessing the history of what's gone forward and addressing, you know, describing the core problems that we pulled out in the report.
But at this point, it's really in the hands of Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer.
Again, to our understanding, the six nominees have been put forward and they have hearings, so it's in those for those six nominees. Again, there's nine authorized by law, but there are six outstanding nominees, and that is in the hands of the Senate. Yes.
Charles Crum is Director of Operations Research at the Postal Service Office of Inspector General. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll post a link to his report along with this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, connecting U.S. Postal Service at its Future Needs Month. Sponsored by Sprint on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search USPS.